Hello, North Church. Pastor Rodney here. I am excited about next week. We're starting a new series called Followers Of. I'm going to leave it there. We're going to look at the life of Jesus and how he speaks to us through the Gospels. It's going to be great. It's going to be encouraging. It's going to be uplifting. Okay? Next week. Now, this week, we're continuing the series XO, Love, Boundaries, and Relationships. And we have our very own pastor, Hedy Coleman from Guthrie America, that's going to be delivering the message. Get ready. It's going to be great. I met him years ago, heard about him before he even came to North Church. When he came to North and got involved and then eventually came on staff, when I first met him, I was like, he's so full of energy. He loves people. He's great. This can't be real. Years later, he's still the same guy. He is real. He loves people. Get ready. Get your notes out. Get your Bibles out. Okay, listen to what God has to say through our pastor right now as he delivers, Pastor Hedy Coleman.
Come on, Jesus. Let me get my stretch on real quick. Getting ready to preach to y'all. I got to stretch a little bit, get loosened up, because some of y'all look like y'all may not laugh at any of my jokes. I got to get loosened up. Hey, I'm so glad to be here with you all. First, let me say this. My beautiful mom is in the room. If y'all do not know my mom, she's right over here on the front row. So let's give it up. She's shy, so make sure all you come over and bother her afterwards. And she's definitely a little different from me. So, but come over and bother her. Yeah, that'd be great after this. Good morning, Guthrie America, Deer Creek, Freedom House, all of you who are watching online. But I'm so glad to be here with you all today. I love you. Thank you all for being awesome, North family. Thank you for loving my family so well. Thank you for letting me dream with you. Thank you for letting Rodney let me get on stage and talk crazy to you all. You know what I'm saying? All those great things. And so I am so thankful to be here today. If you would stand with me so we can read over some scripture. I always wanted to say that. My grandfather would say, please stand for the reading of the word. Some of y'all grew up old school Baptist, so let's stand and read. That might not just be Baptist. Some of y'all who didn't grow up Baptist, did y'all's preachers say that to y'all, please? Okay, yeah. Okay, good, good. Any Catholics in the house? Did y'all? Yeah, back there? Okay. Good, 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 good. Let's read this, all right? This is James 4:17. It says this. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. It is sin for them. So if you know the good you're supposed to do, then you don't do it. It is what?
Sin.
Sin. Okay. So how do we know the good we're supposed to do? And I feel like these next couple of verses kind of speak into that. And it says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, how are we supposed to offer our bodies as a what? All right, now you know the good. That's one, okay? All right, so here's the next thing. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Verse 2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are we transformed by the renewing of what? Come on, y'all are with me this morning. I like it. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I believe that as you meditate in God's word and he's renewing your mind, he has given you what is his good and pleasing will. And so I feel like those are the right things that we as believers should be consistent in. And today I'm going to talk about some things that I feel like in relationships we should be consistent in order to get the most out of our relationship. So let me pray over us, then we can have a seat. Hey, Father, thank you for allowing me to be in the house today with these awesome people. Please use me to speak your word, to bring joy, to bring hope, Father. Father, thank you for just allowing hearts to be open today to receive your word and for people to leave up out of here changed. And Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You can have a seat. You can have a seat. So Today, we're finishing up the series, Love, Boundaries, and Relationships. And I feel like people enjoy talking about all three of them. Everybody likes to talk about love. Just getting around in a small group and talking about love is always good. Boundaries, not so. Like, people just typically don't, like, get around and start talking about boundaries. Like, yeah, let's just talk about boundaries. That's typically not a really fun thing. Then we all love to talk about relationships. Married, single, we have conferences around relationships. We don't have conferences around boundaries, right? Anybody been to a boundary conference lately? No? Huh? But we've been to a relationship conference maybe, a marriage conference, something like that. We do those things. So Pastor Clint last week brought a great word on boundaries, which was very, very good. And for me, I like to amen a good message, or there may be a moment in a message where I amen him or shout him down. Any of y'all familiar with shouting people down? Yeah. Or amen. Let the church say. Yeah, I'm in the right place. Come on. And you can amen me at any time. If I say one good thing, if you amen me, I'm fine with that, right? If you want to stand up and shout, I'm cool with that. Like, I'm not going to be intimidated by you standing up and shouting something God has used me to say. I think it's kind of cool, right? Now, some of you may not be standing shouting kind of people, and that's okay if you just want to sit there. Because I was thinking about the night of worship. It should say the many faces of worship. As they were panning through the audience of the different people doing worship, some faces was like this. You'd be like, do they even know God? You know, like, huh? Like, has he done anything for them? You know, but then you got some, they like, you know, like, you know, they just, God is convicting them and their heart is broken. Or it could be like, they just so in love with him. And oh my goodness, it's just so good. And then you just have some people who look like they just angry. Like they just trying to get something out during worship, and it's just the many faces of worship. Some people are jumping up and down. Some people are just standing. I mean, I just love the body of Christ. Everybody's just so different and expresses themselves so differently, and that's so good. So Pastor Clint said this, and I amen him on this. You may help too. He said, just because you're new doesn't mean you stop renewing. Just because, see, you still got an amen this week. That's good, right? That is so good. And I love Clint too. Like, Clint, that's my boy. And I thought it was funny when he would jump into the funny. And then if you were here last week, how many of y'all were here last week? Because I may just stop talking about this if you were. Okay. He jumped from funny, then he'd say, let me get back on my serious hat. You know? And I know Clint. Like, Clint and our boys, I always think it's funny when Clint says he's funny. I'm like, all right, Clint. Yeah. You just killing it. You know what I'm saying? You funny all day long, man. Where is he? Is he still in here? Did he leave? He's not in here. All right, so I keep moving on. I thought I was talking about him while he was in the room. Now I'm gossiping. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's not gossip. I don't know. I'm just up here talking. Okay, now the second amen, I amened him on this too. I amened him on this too. When he said, we try to force our boundaries on God. We always try to force our way of being and doing on God. When it's supposed to be, we're supposed to take on his way of being and doing, right? Well, we always want to force stuff on God. Like, God, no, I don't want that job. I want this job. This is the job you want. No. God said, get out there and greet somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's your job. You know, we always want to force things on God. So anyway, so I often tell people to go in. So in person, hashtag, I may text somebody a long text, and at the end I'll say, hashtag go in on social media. I'm always telling people to go in. And so, and the reason for that is at the core of me, like, God has called me to encourage people. Like, I believe that. I believe that God has called me to be an encourager. And so much so that I thought I'd start a greeting business. Like, I want to get into greeting one day. I think I'm going to make a t-shirt that says, I'm making greeting cool. Right? But I asked one of my friends who work at Walmart if they would hire me. And she was like, Hetty, there's no way in the world that we're going to hire you as a greeter. She said, nobody would go shopping. Everybody would kind of be just hanging out with you. Right? Like, nobody would go. They just come to Walmart just to be greeted. And I'm like, well, that's a cool idea. Like, why not? So I thought I'd make her a little clip because I think she should hire me to greet. And so I was recently invited to greet at a birthday party. So watch this video.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Yeah. Thank you. That gets me fired up every time. I love that. Yeah, you give it up. Come on. Y'all don't want to give it up? So if you have an event, okay, let me tell you how to do this. You can hire me out. I'll come greet at your event. Matter of fact, I do it for free. I love it so much. I do it for free. Now, some of y'all are like, that's too much energy for my event. So just put me out in the parking lot. Then by the time they get to your event, they can be bored again. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't want that much. And so I'm a professional greeter. You saw how the line started backing up. I was going smooth. We had some non-professional people after me, and they kind of backed up the line. They just don't. So go win, go win. So let me tell you, so people start asking me, what does go win mean? And so I put a definition together for go win. This is what go win means to me. Now, go win may mean something differently for you. And so go win is defined as continuing or starting those things that allow you to achieve the wins you want for your life to live out a greater story. So I believe, like, when people are getting wins in their life, oh my goodness, the story is so much cooler. I think about Jesus's life. And like, as Jesus continued to get wins, like healing people and things like that, it says that his fame grew. Like more and more people knew about him. When you start getting more and more wins in your life, more and more people know about you. And I think that the reason God has designed us to be able to win like that is so people can start coming to you, then you can tell them about Jesus Christ. Use your wins to share the gospel. And the more you win, the more opportunities you're going to have to share Jesus Christ with people. And I think as you begin to dig in God's word and he begins to renew your mind and you become transformed, come on, this is so good. You become transformed. People start saying, you know what? Do you know so-and-so? Have you seen the story he's living out? Now, that doesn't mean that you won't have challenges. Doesn't mean that you're not going to fail. But there's something about picking yourself up and be like, well, I messed that up. Let me get right back into who God called me to be. I'm just trying to help you win today. And so today, then I have a workshop I do, like this Go Win workshops, and I do them periodically. And in that workshop, we talk about what are some right things that you need to be consistent in to achieve the wins that you want. So during this Go Win workshop, we talk about what are some wins you want for your life. And then once we define those and look at those, then we start trying to work on discovering what are those right things you need to do to achieve those wins. And so today, I want to talk to you about three right things concerning relationships that I believe will allow for you to live out a greater story in your relationships. And some of these things I've borrowed from teachings that I've done through different organizations, but I believe in them. And I think all of you will say, hey, these are some pretty practical things. But what I want to do with you real quick before we go into those three things, and let me just say this. The first thing I'll spend a little bit more time on, the next two after the first one, we won't spend as much time on. But here are some right things to be consistent in that I learned growing up, all right? These are some things I learned. Lift the toilet seat after doing the number one. No, see, you laughed at it. You're supposed to lift it before you do the number one. Huh? Come on, you're supposed to lift that toilet seat. Here's the next one. Open doors for ladies. Like, I was taught to be consistent in opening doors for ladies. Now, if you're single in here, let me help you out, okay? Now, if you open the door for a lady, and she just walks, she says, thank you, and keeps walking, just leave it alone. You did a good thing. You opened the door for her. But if you open the door for her, and she says, thank you, and then she looks back at you in the eyes, go try to get her number, okay? All right? Huh? Go work that system, I'm telling you. Because they don't just turn around for nothing, huh? Amen. Come on, single men. First, you got to start opening the door for people, though. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all just in a rush to get where you're trying to go. And, you know, just spend a little time opening doors for people. You never know what might happen. Hey, another thing I was taught was read your Bible. Read your Bible. Be consistent in reading your Bible. We used to sing the song, read your Bible. Pray every day and you. Y'all don't know that song? I'm going to keep moving. Google that, okay? Google that. How many of you know that song? Yeah. That's pretty, yeah. So anyway, we keep moving. All right, another thing to be consistent is taking showers. Like, as a boy, my mom had to continue to tell me, no, you got to take showers. For some reason, boys just don't get it. Take us a while sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But you got to take them showers. Be consistent. Take showers, okay? Eat your vegetables. Eat your vegetables. How many of you were taught to eat your vegetables? Huh? Yeah. Look someone in the eyes when speaking to them. How many of you was taught that? Yeah. Look somebody in the eyes when you talk. Don't be looking all down. Look at me in my eyes. Come on. All right, here's another one. Give a firm handshake. Yeah, when I go shake somebody's hand, give me a good firm handshake. Let me know you're alive, you know. Let me know you got some life in you. Be home before the streetlights come on. Huh? Now, I thought that was just as me as a kid growing up. Then I got married. My wife was like, be home before the streetlights come on. She good looking too, so I'm at home before the streetlights come on. You know what I'm saying? They're like, Hattie, do you go anywhere in the evening? No, my wife look good. She smell good. Why I need to go anywhere? I can watch her walk around the house. You know what I'm saying? Now, hold on. See, kids don't. Let me keep moving. All right. Take your head off before you enter the building. Like, you know, how many of you grew up with that one? Like, yeah. Now we preach with hats on. You know what I'm saying? Like, time has changed with that for some folks. For some folks. Wash your hands after using the restroom. Now, that should have been an amen all across the building. But some of y'all felt guilty right there because you ain't been washing your hands. Oh, Lord, help. But let me, this is going to be my only reference to me being black. Just in case you didn't know that I was black. So black folks, when we go to the restroom, right, we wash our hands really good. What happens if there's no lotion, then our knuckles are just white. You know what I'm saying? It's just white. And so sometimes I'm trying to be strategic in how I wash my hands because there's no lotion in the bathroom. So I just want to say this to all you white folks. Let's get some lotion in the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? There's more y'all than us. Do that for me. You know what I'm saying? Huh? Get some lotion in the bathrooms. Y'all the majority, help me out. We brothers and sisters. Just because there's more of you, we still brothers and sisters in Christ. Help me out. When I first came to North, there was lotion. Now there's no lotion. They reeled me in, and they're like, okay, you put all the lotion. I think we got Eddie. I don't know if that's true. Y'all talk to Pastor Rodney about that. All right. The first thing we need to be consistent in. Let me tell you, first thing, one of the first right things we need to be consistent is with our expectations. 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 So unmet expectations lead to disappointment. It leads to disappointment. And here are two things, three things I want you to remember regarding expectations. One, communicate them. Like, you got to communicate your expectations. Nobody's mind readers. You know, like, if you want roses for Valentine's, just tell, like, figure out a way to let somebody know you want roses. Because if I bring you tulips, now you mad. I'm like, when I went, they were on sale. The person said they like tulips. So I got you tulips. Huh? You mad because I brought you roses. Because your expectation was that I get roses for Valentine. You know where they got that expectation? Somebody taught them that. Somebody set them down. They said, now listen, when you get with somebody, they're going to bring you roses. And now they think everybody just know to bring you roses. But we got to communicate our expectations. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't make people try to be. If you want, don't come home mad because the house ain't clean. You know, like, you didn't tell me you want the house clean by 6:30. I just know the house is supposed to be clean, so I can do that by 9 p.m. before I go to bed, as long as the house is clean, right? No, that ain't right. Huh? Like, no, we want it done when I get home. Now you mad, walking around, don't want to talk to nobody in the house. Then we trying to figure out why you mad. Then we giving some counselor a whole bunch of money, right? All the counselor like, yeah, you just keep not talking. Communicate your expectations. Then here's another thing. Just be aware of this. Make sure they're realistic. Make sure your expectations are realistic. You know, so you start dating somebody, you know they work. Let me see where they work at. They're greeted at Walmart. I'm just thinking that the pay may not be a Cheesecake Factory kind of pay. If you're greeting at Walmart. You know what I'm saying? Depending on where you're at, what stage of life. And so you going out with this young man, right? And you get in the car. He comes and picks you up. He does all the right thing. He opened the door for you. Y'all start going down the street. He makes a left. You're like, well, the Cheesecake Factory's on the right. And then he makes another right. And then he starts smiling because he sees these big golden arches, right? Come on, man. That man loves Big Mac fries, a large Coke, or a shake. Like, he's ready just to have fun. He ain't even thinking that the thing that matters is you going to the Cheesecake Factory. First of all, I can't even afford a Cheesecake Factory. Huh? So now you're not going to get with it because now you mad. You didn't win and called your girlfriend. Girl, guess where he took me? Where'd he take you, McDonald's? Oh, my goodness. He took you to McDonald's. Yeah, that's what he could afford. And he opened the door for you. And he put on a little cologne. And he walked you in. And he paid for it. Yeah, what's wrong with that? Huh? Missing out on a good man. You might not be able to live wherever. I don't know where rich people live. Galardia, wherever. But man, he's going to take good care of you. Man, he's going to love you. He's getting up every morning praying and worshiping God, growing and being transformed. Come on, Cheesecake Factory. Here's... None of y'all don't own Cheesecake Factory. I don't even know. Can you own a Cheesecake? I think it's a chain. Okay, listen. Here's the third thing I want you to know concerning expectations. Know the person before setting the expectations. Know the person before setting the expectations. Let me read you some scriptures, a couple of stories of people who knew Jesus and they set expectations based on knowing who Jesus was and the power that happened from that. All right, here it is. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 says this. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader, this is Jesus. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He says, while he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died. Why did he come to Jesus? Because he knew who Jesus was. So he set his expectation, understand that this is probably something that he heard about Jesus, that Jesus could heal, right? But come and put your hand on her and she will live. Verse 19, Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. You know what? Some of you, Jesus is just waiting for you to ask. Some of you got too much pride to just go to him and just say, hey, I need some help, Father. Jesus is so ready to be there and meet your needs. Verse 20 says this. And so Jesus now has gotten up and they're moving towards the synagogue leader's place. And verse 20 says, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. See, what if you start basing your expectations on people, you're like, you know what? I know Hedy's a great encourager. I'm inviting him to my event, and he's going to encourage the heck out of people. And I show up, and I do that. And you'd be like, yes, it was a win. But what if you said, I'm going to invite Hedy to come and be the chef and cook at my event? Right? I get there, and I start cooking manwich. It's not a win. You know, that was not your expectations. But if you base your expectations on the person, now that's fine. I have expectations for my son to make, like my middle son. So I have different expectations for my children. My middle son, I say, I expect you to have straight A's. Now, you know, because I know that he has the ability to do that. My other children, I have expectations for them. But it may not be that because I've gotten to know my children. I know what they can accomplish. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't push them. And that doesn't mean that I don't have some expectations that are kind of based not on knowing them. But I don't let it disappoint me. Some of you let it disappoint you based on expectations that you set for somebody else. And now you're no longer in a relationship with them. And God wanted to use it for something. Here it is. So then Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. Your expectations has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. Because there's real power when you set expectations based on who a person is. My wife and I, when we got married, we living together after we got married. That's what most people do. Well, yeah, anyway. I shouldn't say most people. I don't know how many people do it. But that's something common in the Christian faith. My mama taught me, if you marry somebody, then you move in with them. So I moved in with her. After I put that ring on her and all that good stuff. And we were living together. And I came home one day. And there was a dresser in a box on the floor. And she says, hey, I got a dresser. So, hey, I got a dresser means I want you to build this dresser. And so I drag that dresser upstairs. I take it to the room. I sit on the edge of the bed. I look at all these pieces. And then I start working on this dresser, putting it together. And when I was done, I sat back and I looked at the dresser, and the dresser was leaning. And then there was a back part of the dresser that was not attached to it, and it was supposed to be attached to it. And so I'm very innovative. So I took the dresser and pushed it into the corner. And I slid the back part of the dresser onto the, I slid it behind it. And so I'm like, hey, honey, come look at the dresser. She came up and she's like, oh my goodness, look at the dresser. She's loving me. I met her expectations at that moment, she thought. I come home. Maybe a few days later, I go up the stairs. I turn and my wife is on the edge of the bed with her hands like this. And the dresser is in the middle of the floor leaning. Right? And I walked in there and she's like, I thought you put the dress. I was like, I did put the dress together. But here's the question I got for you. Why are you moving stuff? Like, what? Why do you move stuff? The dresser was fine in the corner. We sleep on the bed just perfectly fine. Everything's good. What makes people want to go start moving stuff? She's like, well, I wanted the dress over here. But my wife was so disappointed because she didn't know I'm just not a handyman. Right, I just can't, that's just not my thing. Like, I'm going to avoid that at all costs and try to pay somebody to build something for me. Now, every once in a while, I might try, but any other time, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm not going home until midnight. You know what I'm saying? Because she, Amazon, you know how you get now? Now they have those fancy doorbells, you can see people when they come. And when I see Amazon come with a box too big, I'm like, I'm just going to stay away. Here, let me finish the story. Let me finish the story. And so when Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house, so now we're back to the man. He's at their house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes. Who do you got in your life playing pipes? Because they don't know that the old man is dead and you're a new person in Jesus Christ. But you got people in your life playing pipes, right? And he said to them, and I think Jesus was gangster. I'm just going to be honest. When I read it, I think of Jesus as gangster when he says this. He walks in there and it's loud and they're playing pipes. Jesus is like, get up out of here, playing them pipes. Huh? That's it. Y'all don't see it like that. That's the way I see it. I see Jesus as a gangster. Braids. Huh? Why can't I see Jesus? It's okay. I saw him coming in there wrecking shop. You need some people in your life to help you wreck shop. Because you're still hanging out with pipe players. You know what I'm saying? Huh? You need somebody to come alongside you to help you clean house. And you know why I know Jesus is gangster? Let me refinish reading. Now, y'all going to go back and be like, Pastor Rodney, let this man on stage. This is what Jesus said. He said, get out of here. The girl is not dead. And they start laughing. Huh? Because now you got people who ain't quite gangster enough to say it, and they laughing at you. You want to start your own business. Oh, you think God's called you to go overseas and minister to people. You think, and they laughing at you and they playing pipes and you just continue to move forward hanging out with them. You need to get those people out of your life. And verse 25 says this, I know he's gangster. I'm going to show y'all. After the crowd had been put outside, huh? Did y'all not see Jesus when he went to the church and got the whip out? Gangster. I got to finish up. Hold on a second. And then he says, the news of this spread through all the region. Can you not see people talking about Jesus came through the house, told everybody to get out, started going off, talking about the girl ain't dead. Y'all laughing at him, but he about to rain. And it says, she got up. Huh? It says, she got up. You will start getting up once you remove those crazy people out your life. And start hanging out with people who are going to speak truth to you and encourage you and tell you it's going to be okay. Come on. Come on. Do y'all not read the Bible? Jesus, man. Here's the next thing. Come on, let's move because I got time. The next right thing is forgiveness. Forgiveness. I'm going to read you some verses. Let me talk about forgiveness because some of the things that the reason we don't move forward in our relationship because we're not willing to forgive. But the crazy thing is you're not willing to forgive, but then you want forgiveness. Let that sit with you. Come on. Where's my amens? I thought we had amens early. I coached y'all on amens. I ain't heard one amen yet. Some of you all won't forgive, but you want forgiveness. Come on, where you at? Come closer. Come closer. That guy got six seats up here. Verse 21, Matthew verse 21 says this. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 70 times? Jesus looked at it. I can imagine Jesus looking at it like, okay. And Jesus answered, he said, I tell you this. Not seven times, but seven times 70. Not just seven times. And this is in a day. 77 times, seven times seven. Come, that's a lot of forgiveness. And so in the story now, I'm going to jump to verse 33. But what happens is this guy needs forgiveness. He owes a guy a debt. He begs for forgiveness. The guy gives him forgiveness, right? And then he goes out and leaves and tries to get somebody who owes him a debt to pay him. Then the guy who had heard about, who had just released him for forgiveness, heard about this. Now he's mad. Now we got another gangster. It's the Bible full of gangsters. Y'all, okay, maybe not. That's just the way I see the story. So then he says this, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Verse 35 says this, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Oh, you better start forgiving. You know, some of you sitting in here right now, you got somebody you need to forgive. Huh? You got somebody you need to forgive. There's a powerful relationship ready to brew up, but you just holding back because you're not willing to forgive. Here's a quote. It's going to be on the screen. Forgiveness is not always easy. At times it feels more painful than the wound we suffered to forgive the one that inflicted it. And yet there is no peace without forgiveness. You're struggling. You're looking for peace in your life. And you're unwilling to forgive. Here's the next thing. Here's the next one. Here's the next right thing you need to be consistent in. Decide. So in the class we used to teach, I used to say this, decide, don't slide. Here, say it with me, say decide.
Decide.
Don't slide.
Don't slide.
Don't slide. When my wife and I, one of the right things that we have in our relationship is having a couples meeting. On Mondays, do it about 6:30. And that's one of the right things that we have to have in our relationship. So we can sit down, communicate with each other, talk through hard things, all those things. And when we don't do that consistently, we can feel it in our relationship. But we got to decide and put that on our calendar. And when it's on our calendar, to show up and have those meetings and come prepared. I have an agenda. We come and sit down and we go through this. But sometimes, how many of you know it's hard to decide to do the right thing? Nobody's saying it's easy. But we got to decide to do it because it's what's best for our relationships. Amen? So here's the question I ask after giving those three things. What does love have to do with it? How many of you know that song? What's love got to do? Got to do. Let me hear you. Come on. What's love? Killing it! Come on! Give yourselves a round of applause! Yeah! Some of y'all are like, why are we singing Tina Turner in church? Some of y'all need to get saved. Whoever's asking that question. I love y'all. All right, hey, verse 9 in John chapter 15 says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. How do you remain in God's love? He says, if you keep my commands. To me, what are those commands? It goes back to Romans. Like, what are those right things I need to be consistent in? He's going to command you what those things are. And he says, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 11 says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Verse 13 says this, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. That's what this is all about. When I talk about expectations and deciding to do the right thing or forgiveness, it's all about saying, okay, this isn't about me. It's about the person across from me. Now, if both of you are saying that, how good of a relationship is that? You're both saying, no, I'm going to lay down my life for you. No, I'm going to lay down my life for you. No, Clint and I, sometimes we come down, we drink coffee. He's like, I'm going to get you some coffee. I was like, no, I'm going to get you some coffee. Right? That's the way a relationship works. No, I'm going to want you to get flowers. No, I'm going to get you flowers. No, we're going to let you pick. No, I'm going to pick. We're laying down our lives. It says this, verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. What is God's business? I feel like it's loving us. What has Jesus been about loving us? He's come to lay down his life for us because he loves us. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. How many of you know love is a fruit? Fruit that will last. I feel like fruit is results. Like you start producing some real results when you just stay in God, when you remain in him. And so, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Verse 17 says this, this is my command. I can imagine Jesus saying it like that because it's so good. He's like, this is my command. Love each other. Love each other. Love each other. That's when we produce fruit. That's when we start going to God saying, hey, God, give me this. Give me that. I need this. I need this. He's going like, oh, because you're just loving each other. You're laying down your life for one another. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Because what is love? Let me talk to you about what love is. And I'm going to read a list of things. And when I come across something that you're having a challenge with in your life concerning love, I want you to stand at your feet. I want you to stand. I'm going to go down this list, and I want you to start standing when you hear something that you're like, oh, I need to work on that. Oh, I need to work on that. Here it is. Love is patient. Here's another one. Love is kind. Come on, kind. Oh, come on, kind. Love doesn't boast. You need to work on boasting. Love protects. Love protects. Have you been protecting your family, taking care of your family, doing what you should be doing with your family? Are you protecting your family? Love protects. Love isn't easily angered. You having a challenge with anger? Come on, love. Come on, love. Love doesn't delight in evil. You've been practicing evil, using social media to be evil versus going to talk to people, calling people out all the time, getting in rooms and gossip. Evil. Love doesn't delight in evil. Love doesn't keep record of wrongdoing. Love doesn't keep record of wrongdoing. That's not love. Love doesn't seek its own way. Love doesn't seek its own way. Look at all the people standing around. I'm standing on all of them. I'm standing on all of them. But I want to pray for you before we go into communion. I want to pray for you. For all of you who are still sitting down, would you stand up and just kind of touch somebody near you? If you're standing, just touch somebody near you. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for each other. Let's bow our heads. Father, I love you. I thank you for using us broken people to spread your gospel, to spread your love to other people, Father God. And Father, I thank you that we're going to continue to be in a mode of discovery of what are the right things that we need to live out in order to achieve the wins you want for our life, so we can live out a greater story, so we can begin to be a testimony to you, Father God. So people will see us and they're going to tell other people, so other people can come to us because they know that we're connected to you, Father. And Father, everybody in this room today, I just say, bless them. Bless them this week. Let them be a light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the North Church Podcast. We hope that you have been encouraged and empowered by the Word of God. For more information about North Church, check out our website at north.church. There you can view more messages and join us for experiences live online. You can also subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great week, and remember to love God, love people, and follow Jesus.